Washington. They're very rarefied atmospheres, actually. There's certain legal protocols around, you know, every time you enter the courtroom, you have to bow to the judge.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
The language is very different. It's heightened. It's sometimes quite complex and complicated to follow.
Question, Senator. Why was Linda Morelli granted these concessions?
Mr. Chief Justice, I have extended...
It's out of the everyday, but it's out of the everyday for a reason.
This is Emma Rowden, and Emma's not a lawyer, she's not a criminal, but she spends a lot of time in courtrooms. Emma is from the School of Architecture at the University of Technology, Sydney, and her recent research is looking into designing the space of law.
We want these spaces to be different because things that are happening in there are different. The orchestra of how the interactions take place are very carefully thought through. Even the journey to the courtroom, you have judges come separately in separate entrance, which is different again to the jury. The jury need to be seen as coming in separate from the judge. You know, I think the costume helps. So you've got the judge in their robes and the lawyers. And I mean, those costumes give some level of anonymity. In fact, one judge told me that his wife had walked past him once when he was in his wig and gown and hadn't recognised him at all. So, but I mean, you know, it just goes to show the level of, it's a way, it's putting on the office, you know, by putting on the robes and the gown, it's a way of saying, you know, I'm not this particular person, but I am assuming an office on behalf of the state, you know. I'm performing a duty on behalf of society.
Do you think that this sort of orchestra played in the courtroom is facilitated through this architectural design?
Definitely, absolutely, yeah.
The courtroom is a space built on ritual. The design, the building, the orchestra inside play to a deeply rooted legal history. But Emma says history could soon be rewritten.
And the other thing in a criminal courtroom is the video link room.
It's essentially abolishing the courtroom space.
Well, it depends. Right now it's not, in so much as trials are still happening in courtrooms, but certain participants are being linked remotely from a remote location through video link technology.
Where are these? Like, what do you mean remote location? Like anywhere?
Anywhere. Well, not quite anywhere, but basically anywhere where you can find a room with adequate video link technology. I know some courts have used Skype. Surprisingly, but you know, that's not standard practice. But basically, you know, you need to have the right equipment and the right setup. You know, you can understand why government has leapt on this as a possible way of it's a sustainable way of getting bodies to particular places virtually that they need to be without transporting, and it cuts the costs as well. And if you say you're trying to link up with an expert that's from overseas, you then suddenly don't have an international airfare, the expense of hotel rooms and so forth. And also it's more convenient for that person. You know, they don't have to upend their life and come to appear in a court case. So you can definitely see the advantages. But I think for me, the concern is how it's been implemented in that respect.
So does it still require, like, the judge and everyone, are they still at the court? Where are they?
Yeah, so basically, say it's an expert linking in to give evidence. Everybody else is in the courtroom. It's just their face appears on a screen.
So essentially it would still require that space courtroom.
That's right, at the moment, right? But, you know, some sort of futurists are sort of predicting the virtual court where, you know, judges will link up in this way, lawyers will from their chambers. Defendants from where they are in either a remand centre or prison. That's the futuristic kind of vision for
utopian,
this. But well, or dystopian, one might argue. But, you know, that's certainly technically possible. And in fact, we did a series of exercises where we actually went in and tested the link for ourselves. So I would sit in one room and my colleague would sit in the courtroom. And we had one expert witness tell us that they were watching a colleague and they were absolutely shocked at how how their colleague came across as looking shifty because their eyes were flicking from one screen to the other as they were looking at the bar table and the judge on their side.
Right.
But actually to the courtroom, it just looked like their eyes were flicking back and forth and looked like they didn't know what they were doing, or, you know, so it was interesting how those impressions can actually, you know, actually distort potentially somebody's position. And then we've actually seen also people appearing by prison link, video links, where maybe the zoom of the camera hasn't been quite right so that the person's head is on the bottom half of the screen. You can see a doorway behind them with a glass panel with people with clipboards behind them sort of wandering past. And it gives, you know, it's like a colleague of mine, Carolyn McKay, has done some really fascinating work actually interviewing defendants on their experiences of video link. And the kinds of things they've been, you know, saying in this study are really fascinating. The fact that they're aware of the sounds of the prison that they can hear really strongly, like the slamming loud doors, and them worrying about whether the courtroom can hear that. So it's their environment of incarceration being kind of projected on into the courtroom, and them worrying about the effect that has.
Should we be utilising more video links in actual trials? Does that mean that there should be designated spaces where people go to for video links?
I think that's a really interesting issue you've raised. One of the findings of my research and that of my colleagues has been that actually there should begin to be what those in the UK, I think, have started to term accredited spaces. So this idea that the court will inspect a space and kind of deem it suitable, then it can be used as a video link space. I think definitely jurisdictions are moving more towards that kind of an idea.
But it seems hard because if you're trying to essentially democratise that practice and say you're able to stream from here, but wait, you have to go to a place that's accredited.
Well, you know, I think that's just, that's an administrative issue that needs to be worked out over time. I mean, I see the point you're making, but I think actually there's a greater issue at stake here, which is the nature of the environment of our courtrooms and how they maintain a respectful environment for all those involved so that they can adequately participate without feeling like they're losing out because of where they're beaming in from.